Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
I still like the movie because my grandfather was in that time and that season, so it always brings me back to, like, this is what they went through. And so I'm watching it, and they said a phrase. It said, the Japanese said, we have awakened the sleeping giant. Oh, you sure have. But they were hit when they were sleeping. They were hit when they thought they were safe. They were hit when they thought, oh, we have it all together. We're good. We're comfortable. We're in our place. We're in our spot. But see, girls, we should never be so comfortable we aren't watching. We should never be so comfortable we're not on alert and ready for that next moment. Because the enemy is. He's lurking and he's waiting and he's going. So I've heard people go, but that's exhausting. I don't want to live that kind of life. Well, go ahead. Go get eaten by that lion then, because I'm telling you right now, it doesn't go away. This is the earth. God has not promised that this is perfect. He says heaven is perfect right here. We need faith. We need to arise. We need to use our authority. We need to understand our opponent, and we need to know what attacks are coming at us. So here they were. They were attacked. Do you guys remember that day? I went over to Pearl Harbor. I saw the Arizona under the water, and it broke my heart. All the lives that were given, all the things that happened. But then so many times I think about us as Christians, and I wrote this down. We as Christians, we are many. We are everywhere. We are strong, and we are equipped, and we are set apart. What can stop us when we band together? Something in life that God can use are the hard things. Sometimes they're the attacks. Have you ever been through a really bad time in life, and you're going, how can any good come from this, but you've now passed it? You can look back and go, oh, I see God in that all over it. I see God in that struggle. I see God in the pain. Oh, I now see God in the beauty. I see God in the journey. I see what he did. He molded my heart into where he needed me to be during that. And I got off of me and I got onto him. You see, the attacks, we can see them as a negative thing. But God might be using them to benefit you, your heart, your family, your children, your church girls, your city, your careers, your country. Are we praying for our country enough? Jerusalem, God is a brewing on the earth, and there's a cry. But we, as women, we need to gather together. You know, when we go under this attack, it does a couple things. It brings an urgency to us. You know, when something goes wrong, right away I go into mom mode and I go, well, how can I fix this? You know, my husband's not as fast. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you freaking out? No, you need to understand that if this happened, you know, like I'm thinking 10 steps ahead. But I think that's how moms are, right? We are going to go to Disneyland. And if we forget that diaper bag, God forbid, right? Like your whole day is ruined. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. That urgency we need to be prepped for. We need to be equipped for. That's why you come to Women Rock on Thursday mornings. Because you got to equip yourself for the battle that will come ahead. I'm telling you right now, it will come. Because we live in a fallen world. But you have the tools to overcome it, to step out from it, to be the victor at the end of it. Because we know the story and where it ends. And see, God is pushing us to hear the cry. To awaken the sleeping giant inside of us. And so in Ephesians, it talks about this. I love this verse. I'm going to go back to 13 just for context sake, and then we're going to move on. It says, but all things, Ephesians 5:13. But all things, all things, all things, all things, all things. You could preach a whole message on all. Because he is all in all. He is more than enough. He never fails you. He knows all things. There's nothing you're hiding from him. He's not blinding his eyes from he knows what's happening. All things that are exposed and are made manifest. Manifest, another word for it is known. They're made manifest. They're made known to us. All things by the light. Ooh, the light. Who is the light? His name is Jesus Christ, the one who shines and illuminates and exposes the darkness. I talked about this on Easter morning, on sunrise service, that when the light comes, it does two things. It exposes the darkness, or it shines brightness on the goodness. You see, God wants to expose and to make known some things in our hearts and in our lives. And it says, for whatever makes manifest is light. Verse 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I love that. Verse 15, see then, because you've woken up, because you are no longer dead to your sin, dead to what this world wants you to walk. The devil wants you to walk dead. But girls, let me tell you today, you are more alive than you've ever been if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. There is something greater on the inside of you than you. You can't do it yourself, but with him, you are more alive here on this earth. You carry some supernatural power. You are more than enough. Say that I am more than enough. See, the devil wants to lie to you and say, oh, you're just not good enough. You're just this, you're just that, and he will beat you from pillar to post. But I'm here to tell you today, God says that you are alive and that he has given you a light that is him, and he is living on the inside of you. And so when we begin to understand that when my flesh says, oh, I just don't feel like it today. I'm just not good enough today. Or I want to be irritated today. Well, listen, I wanted to be irritated all morning. I knew I was going to preach myself happy. Everybody's normal. Like, that's a normal feeling for human. But let me tell you something. We aren't human. We get to go live for eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. I don't know how much I can get this in your head, that when you identify with something on this earth, you are then saying no to God. Because God is the one that you follow. He is the one that you are created like. He is the one, girls, listen to this, that you look like. You look like your father. So when we beat each other up because of, let me say this, our racial divides, what are we doing? How foolish and immature of us as Christians to offend another brother or sister who looks just like Jesus. You see, there's a bigger picture here. We got to get out of our funnel vision. The enemy wants to keep us in this funnel because if he can confine us and then we don't go anywhere for the kingdom. But God is saying, so then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ooh, I love this one. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're living there, girls. Ephesians 13, 16 in the Passion Translation. This is kind of like a poetic translation, so I loved how they said it. It says, whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. This is why the scriptures say, arise, you sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the anointed one will shine his light into you. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. And for we are living in evil times, take full advantage, I love this, of every day and spend your life for his purpose. I believe the his should be capital. Because I'm going to live every day for his purpose. And every day I realize all of the things that I think are my purpose, they just kind of disappear, don't they? They just somehow, they fall away and you're like, what happened? And God's going, it's all about me. Hello, you're not on my track. You're not doing what I need you to do. And so God wants us to live on-purpose lives because we have sleeping giants inside of us. So how do we live an on-purpose life? You ready for it? Number one, we wake up. Now, I've always heard this, like, kind of preached, wake up, you're sleeping, you don't have oil in your lamps, and da-da-da. No, I felt like God said something different to me this time when I was studying. He said, what's it like when you get a good night's sleep? And I'm like, ooh, I wake up ready. Like, I wake up the next day like, let's do this. Like, what do we all want to do? You know, like, my kids probably love it because they're like, Mom is on. We're getting three meals cooked from home today. And, like, I'm going to ask for a toy because she will say yes. And, you know, like, I just know, like, when I get sleep, it's a good day, right? And I feel like that's what God is saying. Okay, you've had rest. You've been at rest. But it is time to wake up because the battle is prepping. The enemy is stirring, and there's a cry going out. Sometimes this can be us also just waking up, and we can be a bit drowsy in the morning. How many of those do I have in this room? My husband, he's so funny. He wakes up in the morning, and I've learned over 18 years, you don't talk to Dan in the morning. Like, anything you say, he can't remember one word. So then, like, later when he's awake, he's like, when did you tell me that? And I'm like, we had a long conversation. And you don't remember, no. So we have in our marriage had to make some adjustments, okay? And this is the agreement. You get in the shower and then we talk. Because the shower for some reason wakes him up. Do I have any shower people in here? I'm not that person. I don't have the luxury of that, but he can. So he goes and he takes his shower. Once he takes his shower, he is like, hi, how are you? And he's just great. And I'm like, thank God he took a shower today, you know? Some of you need to go take a shower and wake up, okay? Because God has some things on the horizon for us. And God wants to do something. I have a story. Actually, I'm going, where's my phone? Did I even bring my phone? I have this really cool example. No, I'm going to find my phone. You're going to have to stop the tape, you know. Okay, maybe it's in my pockets. Julia, can you find it? Okay, so there's this story. I'm going to read it to you, but then I want us to try it, okay? Because it's going to give an example of why you're so important to the body of Christ and why when you wake up and you show up, what it does, okay? All right, here we go. It says that one time in church in the morning during praise and worship, oh, well, I'm sorry, that was a different story. I don't even need to say that one. This one, it says, a weary traveler arrived in a French village in Dubs on Sunday evening. Tiva, you're calling me. And found people hurrying through the streets to church and each carrying a bronze lamp. Do you guys remember those little lamps, you know, how they light up and some of them do have oil in them back in the day? I always wished that I could have one of those, the hanging ones with the oil in them. And this is what they were talking about. In 1550, when they built this church, they didn't put any electricity in the church. So what they did was they put in little hooks on every seat and everybody would come to church and light their lamp and sit in the sanctuary. But not until the whole congregation came would the church be lit up, because every person had a purpose, and it was to illuminate the church. Isn't that beautiful? So what I want to do is I want you guys to turn your phones on to your flashlight. Okay, turn the lights off, Cheyenne. And then see how we illuminate. How much brighter does it get as you guys turn your lights on? Brighter. And brighter and brighter, right? Because without your light, I would be lost. There would be dark corners. There would be places I can't see. Without your light, without who you are, if you didn't wake up and come this morning, there would be an empty seat waiting for you. There would be someone here not ready and on wait for what God has for them. But we as a church, we gather together, we put our light, we so shine our light so bright in this dark world, and we make our place known, and we let the devil know we're here, and we're awake, and we're learning, and we're filling ourselves up so we can pour out, because we're going to answer the cry. And so we could go ahead and turn the lights back on. But what a beautiful story that they all got together and that each person woke up in the morning. They chose to turn on their light. They chose to go gather together. I know it's so easy to live stream nowadays. It's so easy. It's so easy to just get a message from one of the greatest preachers in the whole world, you know, whoever you like, and you can podcast them. But I'll tell you something. The Bible does say this verse, and now we understand why it says it so much. Do not forsake the assembling of brethren, because there's something that happens when we get together, and we have to bump arms together, and when we have to pray together, and when we have to see each other's faces, or when we stand in a room, and one is praising God, and maybe you're not feeling it, and you're like, well, she's doing it, I can do it, okay, I'm going to surrender God, Lord, and then it begins, our hearts begin to soften, and the atmosphere begins to change, and that all happened, why? Because you woke up. You see, church, we've got to start assembling. We've got to start gathering. We've got to start putting some priority on what God is about, because he's asking us to wake up, because there's a cry. There's a cry. I love what God is doing. We cannot do this alone. We cannot do this sleeping. Have you ever tried to take care of your child when they were little? I remember being half asleep and like trying to like take care of the baby, but like spilling the milk everywhere, and then like, you know, changing the diaper and putting the diaper on the wrong way, and then they poop, and then you're like wake up in the morning to like a mess in the crib, and you're like, oh, I did that half asleep. You see, we've got to be awake and alert and ready, because we can't half this job. We can't just partially do our jobs here on earth, because each of us have a purpose. Each of us brings something to the table. Each of us need to be awake. The second thing on purpose life is to walk in wisdom. What is wisdom? I mean, nowadays it's a hot mess. Everybody thinks they're wise, right? Like, it's the opinion capital of the world if you go on Blog Central. I was reading blogs, and I'm like, well, now it's your, what? That's not, okay, who taught you? You know, like, because everybody's opinion is apparently truth. But I'll tell you, you're entitled to your opinion, but the only thing that's truth is the word of God, and he is the one that defines what is right and what is wrong, what our boundaries are and where we live, and what defines what is happening in our life. You can read any blog you want, any opinion that you want, and if you follow down someone else's direction for what they want in your life, you're not really living. Because God has called you to do something for yourself. God has called you to be you. God has called you to do it with wisdom. Sometimes we can call ourselves stupid. There was a season, there was a place in my life that I was journaling. Have you ever journaled and you end up beating yourself up in your journal? Or am I the only one? Like, so I'm like journaling and then I'm like, I don't like what I'm saying about myself. You know, like, and because you know it's wrong, like, you're just stupid, and people, and I was like beating myself up, and finally Dan walked in the room and he didn't know I was journaling, and I'm like, I'm just going to stop right now. So I put it down on the bed. I left. I made breakfast, and I came back, and I wrote on the bottom of my journal, that was dumb. None of this is true, and I don't believe any of it. Because it was like I was venting about myself, you know? That wasn't wise. But you know what was wise? To walk away from the negative and go get away and get re-collaborate, because I know who God made me to be. And girls, you need to know who God made you to be. You are a wise woman. You know why? Not because of your own ability. Not because you read a ton of books. You know, I talked to Reverend Teresa, and this woman is like getting her doctorate, and she wants to talk about spiritual deep things. And I'm sitting there across the table like, I don't know if I can hang. Like, do you ever feel that way? I'm just like, okay, Richard should be in here with you or mom, you know, like, and I'm enjoying the conversation, but I don't know if I feel like it's my spot. Does that make sense? But then I heard the Holy Spirit say to me once, I want you to hear what Teresa says next. And I said, well, I don't know about that, Teresa, because I was thinking this. And she said, I'm telling you right now, you may not have gotten your PhD, but you do, you are wise. When you hear the Holy Spirit and you say it, like, it outdoes all my books, it outdoes all my studies. There's times you have said things to me and I'm like, whoa, I didn't read that, I didn't learn that. And it made me feel good because you know why? That's not me. It's the one who lives within me. And his name, and guess what? He's available to all of us. He's not a respecter of persons. So when you feel dumb, girls, I want you to say this. I'm smart. I'm wise. And I have the Holy Spirit living within me. That's right. Ephesians 5:15. So then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Have you ever seen foolish people? I mean, I'm telling you, there are people been in and out of my life, and I'm like, that was a very foolish situation. Like, you didn't have to go down that road. But you see, circumspectly, that's a word we don't use nowadays, right? Like, what does that mean, Pastor Jess? And this is not because I'm smart. I just looked it up. It means we walk carefully. Okay, so we walk circumspectly. We walk sensitively. And also, it's as a person is walking through a thorny terrain. Can you imagine big thorns and you're trying to avoid them? That's us here on this earth as Christians. We are walking on a thorny terrain. We are walking circumspectly in this world that is full of evil, for they will I love this verse. Understanding this world that we live in, it's where the Spirit of God lives is within us. So when you find yourself in a situation that you're going, this is way out of my league. Like, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know what I'm going to say in this moment. I don't know what I should do or how I should respond. I want you to do something for me. I want you to tap into your spirit, man. So get out of your flesh and go, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? And you can say that to yourself, okay, while the person is talking. And then believe and trust that when you speak, life is going to come back out of your mouth. That wisdom is going to pour out. You know, David was full of wisdom. I love that. Solomon and all of them, they wanted the wisdom of God. And they asked for it. Girls, why can't we ask for it? We can. And I'm here to tell you today, you've got this. So we're going to pray, we're going to ask for wisdom today because God needs us to walk it out in wisdom. Matthew 10:16 says, and this is why, behold, this is going to be a fun verse, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's Christians in this world. But therefore, because of that, this part is for a reason. Therefore, be wise as serpents, right? That serpent, he did deceive Eve. And she wasn't wise enough to realize what was going on. But we can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means we can be smart with what we say, but we don't have to destroy the things around us. And God is asking us to be these people. How do I be this girl? You walk in wisdom with the Holy Spirit. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You will be brought before governments and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. I love this. For it will be given to you in the hour what you should speak. So girls, there has been moments and times that I found myself in situations where I'm like, I don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, I just open my mouth out in faith. And God speaks this verse that I had put in my spirit man years ago that I didn't even realize I was filling up the bank of my heart. And then it comes out when you need it. Get into your word, because that will be your light and your path. Verse 20, for it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Girls. An on-purpose life is a woman who can walk it out in wisdom. You are a wise girl, and you've got this. Number three, redeeming the time. An on-purpose girl redeems the time. So much is taken from us. So much plans of the enemy want to come against you and take things from you. Maybe it's taken children. Maybe it's taken marriages. Maybe he's taken your health. Maybe he's taken so many places in your heart where you have so many guards up and you're like, I'm just not going there. Mm-mm, we're not letting people in at that point. Oh, that's a touchy subject. We're going to just build a little wall here and build another one there. And God is saying, it's time to redeem some things in our lives and in our walk and in this world, because the enemy has taken too much from us. And so I want to give you a visual of what this looks like. There was a man named Martin, and Martin had a life here on earth, and this is his story. Satan thought for sure this time that he would add Martin to his trophy collection. He had a game plan outlined in all sinister detail. Blind him from seeing the gospel during his formative youth years. Offer him the lie that he could take care of his own problems. Hook him with the addictions. Ooh, we all know that one. And destroy his marriage. By the time I'm through with him, he will be all mine, Satan thought to himself. So confident was he that he began his celebration early by giving the thumbs up to his demon henchmen. Boys, take some time off. Martin is going in our trophy case. Martin lived most of his adult life in the gutter. Over the years, his heart had become as hard as a rock. He would scoff and disdain whenever anybody would share the gospel with him. I don't need any religion, Martin said. I'm a man's man. He was rehearsed of this speech over the course of life. He became an alcoholic and it ruined his career and his marriage. By the time he was 50 years old, he was good as dead, an accident waiting to happen. Unknown to Martin, God was at work in his life. Martin did not know that God also had a trophy case that was filled with trophies that resembled Martin. God takes personal pleasure in redeeming people just like Martin and in showing them off as trophies of his mercy. Thus, God has a plan for Martin's life. He replaced his heart of stone with a heart of flesh, opened his eyes to see his need for a Savior, and to allow other believers to have the burden for him. God wanted to heal Martin from his addictions, provide a new Christian wife that would help him be a helpmate in his walk with Christ. The result is that Martin became a trophy in God's mercy case, and he was saved. He was added to this great trophy of case of believers and the great cloud of witnesses of people who have experienced God's great mercy. Just as we see God redeemed Martin, guess what? It's our time, girls, for God to redeem our world. God wants to redeem some things on our land. God wants to redeem some things. You know, they took, I think about school, and they took God out of school. And ever since they took God out of school, I was actually the age where I remember going to homeroom and we prayed. I remember going to homeroom and saying a little prayer, doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and then going off to my classes in public school. Now we think that's crazy. Are you kidding me? No, I remember. And I remember the day they stopped it. And we went to homeroom and we were like, just do the Pledge of Allegiance. We're out of here. And I remember homeroom like had a lot of time left because we weren't allowed to pray anymore. And ever since then, look at what's happened in the school systems. There has been so much going on. They cursed themselves. They took God right out of there. The school shootings have increased. I want to say, Pastor Sue, you had the numbers. Was it like 119 or 100? Yeah, 150 shootings in schools in 160 days. She did the math on it. That's crazy. I remember it never happening when there was God in school. We're looking at this new health curriculum that's a perversion, that married people, it will ruin married people's lives, and these poor kids will not have a chance at marriage because they'll be so screwed up mentally and so perverted in their minds that they can't even see sex as a good thing, a thing that God created. And so they're going to be twisted in their thinking, and so they're going to be screwed up people in their generation. Why? Because we took God out of schools, guys. Because the Christians were there, and we said, what is happening? But we didn't know what to do. But I want to say, why don't we redeem some things back, girls? When do we say enough is enough? When does the sleeping giant begin to wake up and say, okay, we've heard you talk now, and you have said all you want to say, but now it's our turn to talk. And we band together, and we stand up, and we say, we are here, and we are a force to be reckoned with, and we're going to take back some things that the enemy has stolen from us. I love that this abortion thing is going on and that this is actually back on the docket again. Girls, I'm a woman that had two abortions right after Clinton put it in. I was that lonely girl as a 15-year-old sitting there by myself, and I never had to tell my parents. Do you know what it did to me? That day, those babies died, and so did I. Nobody's talking about that. They're calling this woman's health. But I'll tell you something. Let's talk about the mental state of the woman afterwards. She's so screwed up because she knows that that was life living on the inside of her, that there's a God connection going on in the womb. And then when that has to be ripped apart, there's a covenant that is broken, and nobody in this world is going to talk about it. They just want to go on in their sin, and they want to call it what they want to call it. But I'll tell you right now, it's time for us to stand up. It's time, church. It's time for us to have a voice again. It's time. We cannot be sleeping any longer. Now, let me tell you something. We can't be these militant, evil people like they are. We have to do this gracefully. We have to do it with wisdom, like we talked about earlier. We can't fight these causes and we just be like that clanging brass, you know, that clanging cymbal and that brass. So we have to ask Holy Spirit, what do we do? Maybe we start telling our stories. Maybe we start talking about the pain that it brought us. Boy, that's going to be uncomfortable, right? Having to go back there, girls. Having to go back to those places that you kind of forgot about. But maybe your testimony, there's more power in it than you realize. Because there might be some people behind your testimony that go, oh, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm feeling. But nobody's ever told me that. Nobody's ever said that to me. How come? But see, we got to redeem back the time. We got to redeem back the land. What has been taken from your family? What generation after generation after generation has been stolen from your family? It's time to take it back, girls. It's time to break those barriers. It's time to say, no, in the name of Jesus, that assignment that has been on my family for generations is not going to continue. It is time for the church to arise. It is time. And girls, let me tell you something. It starts with us. Because we hear the cry. We hear the cry. And I don't want to be alone in this. So will you link up with me to know that I've got to get into prayer a little bit more? I've got to understand who I am a little bit more. Pastor Jess, yes, I'm going to pray for our city. I'm going to pray for our country. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm not going to just let it slide and say, oh, well, that's just how it is. How about, no, that's not going to be how it is because I'm going to go talk to someone. And you know, I've done that so many times. But I'll tell you something, not until someone speaks up. Does something get work out? I used to work customer service. And I'll tell you, I used to, we knew the rules, right? And I worked the return desk. And I won't tell you who because I'm not sure if they still have these rules. And so it was a long time ago. And people would come up and they would not have their receipts. They would bring an item in that actually wasn't what was on the, like, in our store. And I'd be like, I'm sorry, we cannot return that. You know, like, that's not even in our store. And this is what they would say. I want to talk to the manager. And I knew, like, I'm nobody. Like, as soon as you talk to the manager, you're getting what you want. One time this guy came in with this camera. I'm not kidding. I don't know what he did to this thing. Drop kicked it, like rolled it under his car. I never seen a video camera look so beat up in my life. And it, like, I was just thinking to myself, this is crazy. We cannot return this. And he got a brand new camera. I watched the manager walk right over there, grab it, and I was like, what? It seemed wrong, but you know what? He asked. He went and he got it. He went and he took care of it. He didn't even act crazy. He just was like, this is what happened. Da, da, da. And I was like, what? Girls, I need to start asking the throne room. I need to start going and approaching and knocking on heaven's throne. I need to go, okay, God, what do you got? This is what's being distributed in our school education system. What do I have? Where's my power in this? Where's my voice? God, I ask, God, that you would link me up with the right people. And Lord, I pray that you would begin to help me to overturn this foolishness that is being taught to the next generation for them to be on their way to hell and they won't even know how to get out of it because they're so deceived. You see, this is all the plan of the enemy. And he's been doing it for generations. And when you look at it, it's so evil. But yet, we aren't evil. We are good, living in an evil time. And how do you overcome evil? With good. And so, girls, what we're going to do is we're going to redeem back the time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Making a sacrifice, a sacred use of an opportunity. I love that. That's what redeeming means. Making a sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. Can we do good in our world? Can we walk in love? Can we say things that maybe aren't going to be popular in response, but we're doing it with a kind attitude and a good heart? You see, it's all about the tone, right? So when somebody says something dumb to you, I'm not good at this. Just ask all my friends. Okay? Like, I'm trying to get better at this. And I'm trying not to make my face say what I'm really thinking. But maybe we could practice. You know, practice in the mirror. Get good at your stance, girls. What's your stance in a battle? What's your position? When they come at you this way, what's your response that way? You see, let's practice. Let's get sharper. Let's get better at this so that we can redeem back what the enemy is taking from us, taking from the generations behind us, taking from our lives. Let's keep close watch by the principles in which we live our lives by. That means I can't rule Julia's life, but I'll tell you something. I can rule mine, and I can say, that's not okay for me. I'm not saying that Julia's doing something bad, but if you are walking in a group of people and they are making some decisions that you know are unpleasing to God, what do? That's uncomfortable, right? You find yourself there, and you're going, all you have to do is opt out. So many times when people want to go do something, and I'm like, if they're unsaved, I'll be like, oh, well, it was good being with you. Okay, well, I'm going to head out. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go now. And you don't even have to say why you have to go. You just have to go. So if they're going to the bar after they did something with you, maybe you guys are all working out together, and then they want to go to the bar afterwards, and you're going, well, I'm good, I got to go, you know, but hey, it was great having some good time with you. You know, you want to go, they invite you to a party, and all of a sudden, you find out this ain't no party. They're all just drunk. Nobody's talking to each other, and this is stupid. Well, guess what? Bow out. Like, go home. You don't need to be around the group. That's not speaking into their lives. But what is speaking into their lives is that they see your purity. They see your standard of living. And it may make them uncomfortable, and they may push you away for a while. But I'll tell you something. When they start hurting, they're going to come to you for wisdom. They're going to come to you for direction. They're going to come to you and go, I want to live more like her, not like all this. I want to be more like her. I want to do life like she does life. Man, she seems like she's got it together. Her husband and her, they had a messed up marriage, and look how they put it back together. Or her kids, man, they were off doing their own thing because I know because they were running with the best of them. And now look at her kids being respectful again and coming back and got off drugs. And you see, your lives are testimonies. You're redeeming back what the enemy has stolen. So live your life with the opportunity of doing good. Keep close watch of your principles that you live by. Speak up for righteousness, girls. Stand on what God says, not on what the world is saying. And take back the ground that was stolen. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Let's talk about that for a second. I am sad about this, but the people that beat you up the most are the ones in church. Because we are the judgy Christians. Because everybody thinks they know everything. And did you see her? I know. She missed two services last week. She's on her way to hell. You know? Or, oh, did you see the way that she said that? I thought she was saved, but she said it so rudely. But instead of walking in love with each other quickly, instead of saying, hey, I missed you. Are you okay? Right? Can I help you? Do you need? Oh, you were sick for 2 weeks? Oh, my goodness. What a great friend I am. I didn't even call you. Hello, church, we've got to be good to each other. I hate the stories where we beat each other up. Well, one church, I had somebody say to me when we first took over, they were talking about all the churches around our area that have popped up. And they're like, well, they're our competition now. And something on the inside of me, I probably didn't respond wisely because the person did annoy me. And so I was like, we are not in competition with them. We are not in competition with them. Well, you're stupid if you think you're not in competition with them because they're taking your people. And I'm like, and you know, a shepherd doesn't want to lose their sheep. And I'm like, they're not taking my people. If my people feel that they're called to go there, then I have to be okay with that. But they're not my competition. We are family. Like, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how I had to keep changing my thoughts, because it was coming at me so fast that it was like I was tempted to get off. The other thing that happened was I went into a store one day looking for tile. And I'm talking to this man behind the counter, and he's talking to me. He finds out that I'm looking for tile for the church. And he's like, oh, you one of those churches? And he names one of the churches in the area, and he gave it a really bad name. Like, he changed the name, kind of spun off on it. And I was like, ugh. And now, the same church that somebody told me I was in competition with. And I was like, well, you know, I know that they're good people, and I know they love the Lord, so I don't know why you have that name for them. And I kind of got mad. And he's like, oh, well, I was just kidding. And I'm like, you're talking about my family. So let's just not, you know what happened? He didn't get my business. I still haven't found somebody to do that job because I don't want his business. Because if you're going to come against God's house, that's God's anointed. And I'll tell you something right now, that's a very scary place to be. Every person that's come against God's anointed, they die. Things happen to them. There are some crazy stories out there. So watch yourself, girls. Walk in wisdom. Let's be a unity team. Now listen, teammates, we're on different teams. We might do things differently, but guess what? We're all for the same purpose. We all have our own positions. We all have our own places in life. We all have our own calls and journeys, but we're all in it together. And that means, what's your journey? What's your walk? Are you doing it well? Let's redeem that back. Let's do it well. Let's make the Father in heaven pleased. Let's awake the sleeping giant, okay? And then Ephesians 5:13, let's just review it. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest by the light, there he says, awake you who are sleeping, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then you will walk circumspectly, carefully, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So on purpose kind of life, we wake up for it, we show up for it, we walk in wisdom, and we redeem the time back. Did you guys get something from the word today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.